This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Welcome back to Kelly and Ramya, and straight away, welcome to
Are you
the
confused
Kelly
yet?
And Ramya. What? No.
Didn't you hear the countdown? No, the countdown was great.
Yes, I know. But we know what's going on. We'll tell people after, okay? We don't want to make anybody nervous.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Shush. So we're welcoming you to the Kelly and Ramya Book Club, the audiobook club, if you've been listening to the audiobook version. It's our chance and it's yours to get into the authors, the narrators, the books that we love or don't love. It's a candid review right now. Kelly McDonald, myself, and our recommender are going to be talking about Bear Town. This is by Frederick Backman. It was released in 2017. 2017? Yes, 2017. And it was recommended to us by Daniel Penamando, who's joining us on the panel. Dan, nice to have you back on.
Nice to be here. It's been, I think the last time I was on this show was talking about my hot sauce collection on your collection segment, which was a long time ago, so it's good to be
long
back.
But it was still
ago.
TV, right? The hot sauce collection? No?
I don't think so. To be honest.
No.
Me neither.
No. Yeah, but I think you've been on since then, though. I can't remember what it was, though, but I thought you came, we talked about something else, but hot sauce was great. You had Bill Shackleton drooling all over the place.
Gross. Yeah,
I remember. It was good.
Yes. Okay. And today you've recommended a book to us. You've been reading a lot lately, so you're like flying through books. Is this a typical kind of read for you, Bear Town? How did you pick it up?
So basically, yeah, you're right. I am new to like reading as a whole. I just started late last year, and it definitely is something that I would pick up and read. It was kind of like doing the rounds on like social media and stuff, where a lot of people were recommending this particular book and this particular author as well, Frederick Backman. But the subject matter really, I read the physical book. I know you guys did the audiobooks, but I had the physical book in my pile for quite a while, so I thought it was a good book to throw for the book club. On the front of the book, the front of the back, it says, I don't know if you're familiar with Friday Night Lights, the show. It's a movie, really popular. It's kind of like the same thing. It's like that's how this book was described to me, being that it's Friday Night Lights, but with hockey instead of football, and that it's, you know, takes place in a small town. You know, it goes into the lives of many, many different characters, how they're all connected, and what like a lot of things mean to the people, what people mean to the people, what the sport means to the town and to the people. So it definitely was right up my alley. I was kind of excited.
And that's high school, isn't it, too, in Friday Night Lights? Isn't that high school football?
Yeah,
because
you're right.
You know how huge it is in the States. Same age as we're talking
junior hockey
here.
Yep.
Which is a huge difference, right? Yeah.
Well,
but the same.
Go ahead.
It was tremendous. I mean, first of all, I want to say I do not pick up many books that are placed in small towns, especially because most of them are romances, and I'm like, ugh, no thanks.
Really?
Yeah, it is like the last thing that I would read, like small town romances. But anyway, this one was very well described, as you said, very well connected in terms of the details of people in Bear Town, the sport in Bear Town, just like the ripple effect of how everything affects everything, including people's pasts and presence and, you know, everything else. So, Kels, were you impressed by the way that this was painted?
I love this book. I'm still puzzled by your small town thing. I don't even think I'd ever put that in my romances category of, I'm not reading this thing. This takes place in Scarborough. Forget it.
Okay, that's not a small town.
No, but I would never read Scarborough books. Anyway, I digress. I loved it. I found the way it was written and the going back and forth. I didn't know when starting to read it what to expect. I didn't know how much would be hockey talk, how much would be the people of the town, how much each character meant something to the story. As I read, some were important, but one of the things I learned at the end of the book, that most all characters were important to give you that small town feel, whether they were related and interacted with each other or didn't, whether we just heard about these unique characters to give you that feeling. I mean, yeah, you're maybe left saying, well, how come there isn't more of this person? Or how come there isn't a little less of these two? I really felt that connection to feel of a small town. Now, the unique thing about it that I guess, in my opinion, can be deceiving to people, especially if you're not a sports fan, the junior hockey element of, would you actually have an arena like this with this many people? And again, you don't know how many hundreds, if at all, were in there, or if it's 80 people. You sort of start saying, well, how could they actually have an arena in a small, small place like this with a team? So there were some of those things that, and when Dan made mention of social media and the conversations, I really wonder about how much are Canadians talking about it? Europeans, where this is plausible, versus so many other parts of the world where they would just, what? You know, and as Dan mentioned, Friday night lights, you know, you go to those high school football games, you know, they do get those crowds in some of the even small towns of 1,000, 2,000 people, where that would never happen here at high schools here in London, Ontario.
Yeah, and it was also a question I wanted to pose to you, Ramiro, because correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't watch hockey. Like, and your knowledge of the sport is pretty minimal, I think, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So I was curious to, like, ask you if, and that was something I was worried about, too, is like, I know this book is, it's about hockey, like, that's kind of the backdrop of the story, even though it's, like, more centric on the characters and whatnot and what's happening. But, like, did your limited knowledge of hockey, the sport, play into your enjoyment or your unenjoyment of the story? Like, did it sway you either way, or were you able to kind of enjoy the story regardless?
Well, that's a fair question, but I really enjoyed this book. I enjoyed the stories. I enjoyed the writing. I actually did enjoy how much hockey there was. And I wanted to say it in the way that they, the analogies, the metaphors, the way they kind of compared hockey, not necessarily as like the rules and regulations. Of course, we went through games and we went through practices, went through drills. So there was a lot of like that hockey talk,
yeah, like
right?
The technical
lingo.
Talk, yeah.
Yeah, the technical talk. But also there was like amazing quotable moments like all over this book around comparing hockey to religion versus faith. Right? Things like that, that really stuck with me. And I thought that the author did a brilliant job at not making this a hockey book, even though it's all hockey. And I think that I enjoyed this kind of thing with, what's the book we read with Brian, the general manager, Kells? I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, you mean...
yeah, we're going to have to come back to that one.
From the Maple Leafs, sir. Brian...
something.
Who used to coach the Leafs?
Burke's Law, as well as, you know, Colin Kaepernick's book that we read recently as well. Same thing. Like, you got to make it, if you want people to read it, even if it is all about hockey, even if it is about the culture of the sport, you got to make it so that it's really about telling stories, right?
And I didn't feel it was dumbed down to do that, because he was able to, and I think that at the end of the book, he references who he went and spoke to, but I think he learned not only about hockey to write this the way he wants, but so that he could put it in plain language and not make it so important. So that, but I don't know why they're doing this. Why is this guy skating at this other guy and this other guy hitting him and making him tougher? That's all you needed to know.
Yeah, to the contrary, I thought there was a lot of technical stuff in there that I learned and picked up along with what I already knew, but it was more than that. Dan, characters. Any characters you want to say anything about?
Yeah, I liked pretty much all of them for their own reasons, but I really took to Amat, which was the smaller boy who's actually like underage and wasn't initially on the junior team or the A team, who was kind of brought up because he has this like insane work ethic that he just goes to the rink with his mom, who's like the janitor of the rink every morning, and he just does drills by himself and works super hard, and he got his chance. I really liked, and he does play a pretty like pivotal. Well, they all do. They're all pivotal characters in the story, but I really took to Amat. He had a lot of pressure on him from kind of all aspects, because he lives with his mom, his single mom, in like the rundown area of Beartown. So he's kind of dealing with that and not so much money coming through the household. But he really wants to be great at hockey. And to do that, to be fair, it's not a secret. You do have to kind of like put it in quite an investment to succeed in hockey.
Right.
So there was a lot of, I really took to that character. I really liked his, the way he navigated and the way he was kind of like connected through everyone else's storyline. So I liked him.
Yeah. He felt like a main-ish character to me. And I'm only saying that because obviously we have our protagonists and the main storyline between the two characters, Kevin and Maya, but also, yeah, like, Amat played, as you said, a very pivotal role in how the story shaped out. And we got to know him a lot. And Kels, this comes to the point of, you know, you saying we didn't get to know everyone equally, right? Just because we got all these perspectives, it doesn't mean that all perspectives were equal. So I was curious about what characters you were like, I wish I could have heard more from.
I don't know, because I felt for most of them, I heard enough. I mean, there were characters that were just mentioned, and it was really, really kind of nice that they were there to support a lot of the feelings of different characters. I think that to me was the gift of the book. I wasn't left saying, wow, I should have heard more from this person, or because sometimes I've felt that and really been upset by it. Like, it really frustrates me. But this was nice because I felt that everyone was to really push that viewpoint of this small town. And even if two people were related and we, Oh, that's the dad. Oh, that's the aunt, or that's whatever. They didn't ever have to necessarily interact, because it was to show the size of this small town, I feel. The one thing I did take away, too, that I thought was quite impressive is the hunting part of it. Everybody hunted, that kind of thing. They were out on the ice, the cold. There was a built-in toughness to everyone. Oh, my goodness, what's her name? The one lady who runs the bar, the older lady, Ramona, thank you. That character was a very interesting pinwheel. She knew everything, everyone stood up to whoever, and the fact that of the importance of it. But I'm like Dan, I think Amat was my favorite, and so was, again, I'm going to blank on names, Kevin's best friend, because it was a while ago.
Benji, who
protected him so much. And that character really, for me, I kept like, what's Benji doing? Where's he now?
Yeah, there were actually very particular moments that I felt a lot of sadness for characters, or just like a depth of emotion of whatever kind. And that moment where David is the coach's name, right? Who, you know, sees Benji with his person, like his partner, or however we want to coin it that time, the bass player, and feels this immense frustration that, you know, he failed as a coach because one of his bravest, toughest, you know, best players couldn't come to him and be brave about this information. And Dan, like, that really hit me, and that was near the end of the book, but it was really a big one.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that particular moment, I had to go back a few times and read it because the way it's written, or maybe it is because it's a translation, because it's originally in Swedish, that particular moment is written in such a way that you see, because one of the players is gay and he's kind of hiding it from everyone, but the coach witnesses his relationship with another boy or man. And the way it's written is like, the coach gets frustrated, but I was like, wait, is he frustrated he's gay in the first place? Or he's mad?
Right.
But then you kind of read a little bit further and you kind of piece it together. Like, no, it's exactly what you said, that he feels like a failure because he didn't, I guess Benji couldn't approach him and tell him with that kind of part of his life. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many moments like that, you know, father,
son. A lot of the men
things
are like that,
exactly.
Right? In this story, and yet we recognize from all the men, I wish I could have. I wish I would have known how to go over and give Len support. And there was a lot of that and I don't want to say just the men. I can't exactly, because you look at Ramona, there's another person that, you know, the toughness, the inability to
but
be
even
able
her,
to do
her
some
past
of that.
Husband, right? Like,
yeah,
was
all of
the
that.
Person she always referenced.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. The storyline itself, Dan, anything to say about that? Of course, we're talking, you know, sports and hockey culture and all these other things, and just the convolution around whether or not people even believe that, you know, the rape had happened, which was the general manager's daughter, Maya, that's the context. And throughout this whole book, that's what we're exploring, right? What's happening? How is the town reacting? And is it true? Is it not? And it's awful.
Yeah, it's all very like frustrating to read, like in a good way, in a way that it gets your like kind of emotions riled up.
Sure.
Obviously, the event that takes place, the rape of that girl, is beyond description. It's like unfathomable and disgusting. Mm-hmm. But then even on top of that, it's like the reactions, because it's such a hockey centric little town, it's that's pretty much the only thing that they have going for it being in the in these like national championships, is the fact that like most people don't believe the girl that it happened, or they're like victim blaming and all this. It's like, oh, it's just like, of course it happens. Of course it happens. Because we've been mm-hmm. reading accounts of this in the news mm-hmm. forever. And I'm like, it's just, of course it happens. But like, it's just gross and disgusting. And yep. I'm really glad that Maya as a character, as we get like, as I talk towards more the end, she gets her power back in a way that I thought was really nice to see.
It's now, fitting, obviously,
Without yeah, ending up in prison. Yeah. Yeah, without ending up in prison.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, obviously what happened to her was awful, but like she kind of gets a piece of herself back, a piece of her her inner self, I guess.
Yeah, she gets her just desserts for sure.
And the quick thing I'll say, Ram, just it's interesting too, Dan, again, I'm going back to your social media remark and conversation, and we know that incidents of assaults have been really in the media for the last couple of years, whether around junior hockey, around hockey in mm-hmm. Canada, and certainly we know around the world. But it's fascinating when you stop and think that this is an interesting way that this is put out there because of that, because what people see going on, the attitudes, the hockey players, and the unruliness, especially in places where we let them. Oh yeah, but they're our team. They are something. Here in London, the London Knight hockey players, you know, at times you think could do no wrong, or at least never be called out on, because it's what moves this city.
Well. Yeah. This concept that at this town, you know, everything could be said with, would you like some coffee, right? Like, nobody wants to mm-hmm. talk about anything real. Nobody wants to say the words, but the sentiments are all there. And whether that be
the men in black.
Yeah. Whether that be, you know, the grief or the understanding or whatever it is, the handshake is, would you like some coffee? And I think that is so appropriate, because mm-hmm. we talk about, as you said, Dan, on the macro level, all these things that are going on in sports, especially in all these like very tough contact sports, very long running traditions and issues of traditions as well. And people don't want to talk about it. People don't want to reform, but these things got to happen. And it's becoming so much more transparent now. So this kind of puts it all under the microscope in this book. And I thought it was brilliantly done. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, no worries. And just really quickly, it is a trilogy. Yeah. If you guys didn't know that. So there are two more books if you want to kind of dive deeper.
There you go.
That explains the 10-year. Yes, that explains the reference at the end.
They kind of set up the sequel, I think, because I haven't read it yet.
Nice. Yeah,
me too. Me too.
With like the splitting of like, you know, Beartown and this other town. Yep. So you can just imagine like what's going to happen between those two towns now. Yeah.
Well, and the tease of four of these guys, one will be dead, one will this, one will that.
Right.
Really made me wonder.
Okay, thanks, that answers it a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Daniel Panamondo with his recommendation of March's book. And for April, we're discussing The Rosie Project by Grant Simpson. This is recommended by our very own Beth Deer. It's a fiction. It's a romance. Maybe it'll happen in a small town. It's about Don Tilden. He said Don's getting married. He just doesn't know who to yet, but he has designed a very detailed questionnaire to help him find the perfect woman. One thing he knows already, though, is that it's not Rosie. Absolutely, completely, definitely not Rosie. We're discussing this on the 30th of April, the last Tuesday of the month, so come back around, read with us, and join the book club then. Taking a break, coming back really quickly to wrap up the show with you, tell you what's coming up on Now with Dave Brown, and maybe scare ourselves a little bit with some things that are going on with AirPods lately. Uh-oh. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more of Kelly and Ramya after this short break.
Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.